back, WNST, Tassel Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into Preakness Week here all week long. Lots of Preakness coverage. And, of course, we're having our Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving away some Betty Boop scratch-off tickets. Also, some giveaways from our friends at Window Nation and our newest sponsor at Goodwill Industries. That's on Wednesday. We'll be at the Land of Kush. Going to be joined by Brooke Learman, joined by Thiru Vignaraja, and also hopefully joined by Odette Ramos, all three vegan. And we're doing a vegan crab cake tour stop on Wednesday by popular demand. And they're going to play some golf this weekend. This guy's one of our defending champions around here, having written a book about what most golf people care about, the most fascinating rivalry, Tiger and Phil. We had him on in the advance of the Masters. Feels like 5 minutes ago we had Azaleas. We're up on the PGA Championship here this week. We'll be talking a little bit with that with our friends over at the Classic Five this week, as well as we head to Southern Hills Country Club for the first time in 15 years. Bob Herrick does all things Tiger and Phil and golf and all that good stuff at SI and then at Sports Illustrated. You can find him now at Bob Herrick out on Twitter and certainly find his book, Tiger and Phil. Bob, what's going on, man? Happy PGA week. Around here, we call it Preakness week, except when the Derby winner doesn't come, you know?
Yeah, wow. Wild. Hey, that was an incredible intro. Excellent. Very nice. Thank
well,
you.
I do this professionally on any given day.
Yes, this is your job. I get it.
Well, you know, when the big golf tournaments happen, we try to take a little breather and say, where are we? And I think for people that sort of zoom in and out of golf and don't watch every week, they see the majors, they see young players coming on. But when Tiger Woods limps up and down hills in Augusta, it just overshadows everything else. So I don't have to ask you why you write books about Tiger and Phil. The fact that Tiger shows up this week makes people show up. It just does.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He has this ability to attract eyeballs from beyond golf. And, you know, it's funny when I get the blowback from people, oh, you know, he doesn't matter anymore, or he's irrelevant. He's irrelevant. I mean, look at the crowds that followed him on the Monday of Masters week. You know, it was massive.
Was the story. I mean, it didn't. Right. There was no other story. I think we had you on a week before the Masters. There was no other story as to whether he was going to play or not, and not even how well he played. But to make the cut, we haven't talked since then. We're seeing things happen here after his accident and after all the tragedy, like Shakespearean, that I don't know. He's going to win another one, I think, somewhere. It might not be this one, but he's going to win one.
Yeah, you know, if he can get to the point where he can manage this with his leg and build up some stamina and endurance and can play a little bit, there's no reason why he can't win, because standing over the ball, everything looks great. If you didn't know what we know about what he's been through, you'd go, wow, you know, his game looks fine. But what we do know is that there's going to be endurance issues. There's going to be walking issues. And is he going to be competitively, primed to be able to beat the best players in the world? It's probably too soon to expect that, but maybe why not a year from now? You know what? He's clearly still can hit the ball great. He's still got unbelievable skills with his irons. His short game is solid. He just needs to play. And, you know, figuring out the balance of competing and playing and resting and recuperating and building back up is going to be his challenge now over the coming weeks and months and into next year.
I love the individual battles, especially like in tennis and Connors and Borg and McEnroe, you know, like all of that. You've written this book, Tiger and Phil. And I think for anybody that's watched golf in this century, there's been the two of them and kind of everybody else. And you know, for every Brooks Koepka and all these other young guys, and even the John Daly's that made their money and go to Hooters and they had their moment of fame, there's these two guys that are out now at the end. And as much as Tiger has made his off the field and off the course issues sort of legend, Phil Mickelson's trying to catch up with controversy, isn't he, to some degree?
Yeah, he sure is. I mean, you know, it just made me think there. You mentioned Brooks Koepka real quick. Brooks Koepka is today's superstar. He's won four majors. He's in his early 30s. Why can't he win more?
Nobody's writing books about him.
And yet Brooks Koepka, for all he's accomplished, has finished second to both Tiger and Phil in majors when they are considered well past their prime. I mean, that to me is what's remarkable about Tiger and Phil. You know, Tiger beat Brooks Koepka to win the Masters. Phil beat Koepka to win the PGA last year. Now, as you just mentioned, Phil's embroiled in such controversy. He's not even here. He's not even playing the PGA this week, which, you know, if you'd have gone back to this day a year ago, the Monday of the PGA Championship, what kind of odds would you have gotten on Phil winning? They were over 200-1. What kind of odds would you have gotten on Phil's going to win the PGA? And, oh, by the way, a year from now, he won't be able to defend and he'll be healthy. You couldn't have made this up. I need to write another book. I need to write.
Well, for people that are flying into this, who listen to me for politics or baseball or Adley Rutschman or Preakness or Ravens, give everybody a little Phil primer of what's going on with him since you wrote this book.
Yeah, well, Phil he's 51 years old now. But last year, when all these rival golf leagues that have surfaced, disruptors, they've with a lot of money being offered. And there's long been a sense in pro golf that the stars are not compensated for their value. Sure, they make a lot of money off the course, but on the course, they only get paid if they perform. Steph Curry gets paid whether he performs or not. That's the best example I can give you. You know, a guy like he makes $50 million a year. A lot of that is based on what he's already done and what they expect him to bring. A golfer starts out on January 1st with zero. A guy like Bryson DeChambeau, who's been hurt most of this year, he's not making any money. But yet he brought a lot of value to the tour. So that's why these rival leagues have sort of gotten some legs. Phil, not only did he very openly sort of court this with the Greg Norman back, it's called Live Golf Investments, and they're backed by the Saudi Arabian sovereign wealth fund. So they got unlimited funds.
They have murderers who are funding them.
And that is the elephant in the room where the money is coming from. But even if that wasn't it, even if Bill Gates was putting up the money, the fact that Phil, where he's made his living on the PGA Tour, that's where he's made his legacy, was actually helping a rival maybe get established, has not gone over very well. He said a lot of negative things about the PGA Tour. Some of them were probably over the top. Some of them might have had some legitimacy, but they were lost in all the noise. And he lost sponsors. He kind of had to go into the background. He didn't play the Masters. He's not playing this week. There's people are wondering, will he ever play on the PGA Tour again? The guy should be sort of wallowing in the glow of victory from a year ago, and now he hasn't played in over 3 months. A lot of speculation is he'll go play in these live golf events with their big purses backed by the Saudi money, no cuts, big money, and leave the PGA Tour behind. And it's kind of fascinating how this whole thing's all played out.
Well, look, man, I'm sitting around reading about the USFL for like the fifth time and the XFL and rival leagues. And my buddy Luke is supporting this AEW wrestling that the Khan family's put on to go after Vince McMahon or whatever. I'm not a big monopoly guy, right? Like, I'm an American. I think there's too much monopolizing going on in the country. But all that being said, taking a stand against the PGA politically at 51, is there really a chance that a rival catches on? And whatever facet that it could be, is the PGA too big to fail at this point, or too big to leave or parachute away from, even if you're a 51-year-old? I don't know if he's a billionaire, but he's got to be getting up on it, Mickelson, at this point, to say we're in our September, we're going to go do something that puts the PGA not out of business, but would be a legitimate rival. You've covered golf your whole life. Is there such a thing as life after the PGA?
It's complicated, I think. The PGA Tour sort of does have a monopoly in North America, but who else is going to offer the kind of money that they offer? And one of the reasons they're successful is because they are able to get all the best players. You know, we want the best players. You know, as great as the sport of football is, the AFL, which is, you know, what, going back 50 years, 60 years, they couldn't survive against the NFL forever. They eventually merged. The NBA had a competitor in the ABA. As you mentioned, the USFL. Now, they might have made it in the spring, the original one, but they foolishly tried to move to the fall. That was not going to work.
That was a Donald Trump idea. I read about that one.
Yep. We could go into that, too. That did not work.
I read Perlman's book. It was pretty good.
It was excellent. You're right. It was very, very good. Shout out to Jeff. He's a great author, by the way. But can this work? The reason it has legs is because of the money. That first event in London, it's next month outside of London, $25 million purse, $20 million individual portion, $4 million going to the winner. Only 48 players. Everybody gets paid. $120,000 for last. Comparatively, the same event that week as the Canadian Open, it'll have about an $8 million purse, which is tremendous. The winner will make about $1.5 million. But to win $120,000, you probably have to finish about 10th or 12th. At the event over there, if you finish 48th, you're going to make $120,000. 48th in Canada, you're going to make about $20,000. And you have to beat a lot of guys to get there.
So what if they cut Khashoggi into little pieces? They you know, take their money, right?
I mean, again, that is the huge backdrop to this whole thing that they will always fight because of where the money is coming from. Now, the other side of it, and I try to play this down the middle to give both sides. I'm not trying to say that they're okay, but the PGA Tour has a developmental tour in China. It's on hold because of COVID. It co-sponsors a World Golf Championship event in China. Obviously, they have human rights issues. They play two events a year in Mexico. They've had three journalists murdered in Mexico this year. I mean, again, I'm not trying to say, well, just because they all do it, it shouldn't be a problem. But there are conflicts. And that is why, to me, this is complicated. It's not just so easy to say, well, look at where the money's coming from. You know, well, the money, look at China, look at Mexico. Look at states. You can make the argument now. What about states we play in that are starting to have restrictive laws? If you have issues with abortion rights and things like that, well, should we be playing in Texas? Should we be playing in Florida? Again, I just think it gets very, very complicated when you go down this road. But yet, I don't blame people for having a problem with it. I mean, the Saudi regime is probably more closely aligned with golf in this instance than any of the other examples I just gave you. And so, you know, the sovereign wealth fund, it's called the PIF, the public investment fund, is worth $500 billion.
That's all.
I mean, if they want to spend
$500 billion would buy the NFL over twice.
Well, and I mean, so they're going to invest what, $5 billion in golf? If they lose every penny of it, what's the big deal? You know, they've got people working on an investment fund daily. That's their jobs. They'll make it up. But if they somehow find a way in 10, 15, 20 years to gain some sort of positive out of this called sports washing, you know, to be able to sort of advance their causes, then they'll think it's worth it. And this is the dilemma that we're in right now.
They used to use the Olympics as sports washing and the World Cup, which we're in line to get. Bob Arig is here. We're talking golf right now. The book is Golf's Most Fascinating Rivalry, Tiger and Phil. He has inked that. He's out at Sports Illustrated. You can find him, of course, at Bob Arig. It's H-A-R-I-G out on the Twitter thing, a long time at ESPN as well. So for your book and Tiger and Phil, and I've written a couple of books. The only problem is they have an ending online. You can always sort of add to it. I can't begin to tell you how many times I've had authors on with Tom Brady or Peyton Manning books, and they're Brady's still throwing footballs at this point.
Yeah.
Tiger and Phil, if you were to come back 10 years from now and add to this, what do you expect to find on the golf course from these guys? Because they have so much money, so much fame. I mean, you mentioned Greg Norman. I hadn't heard Greg Norman's name in 15 years unless it was associated with wine or a shark. And, you know, he's still printing money in the golf industry, in the fashion industry, all of that. Both of these cats have this laid out in front of them. In the way that we maybe follow Michael Jordan or follow Cal Ripken or follow these guys when they're done, what is the next 10 years for these guys? Because it feels like they can't put down the club, right? Like they still love golf and want to play golf.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it's the way I tried to end the book by leaving open the door that we're going to see more from them. I'll be honest, I didn't envision this. I didn't envision Tiger coming back this soon. I didn't envision Phil's, you know, controversy. But we could have hoped or thought that they'd both be Ryder Cup captains, U.S. Ryder Cup captains. They might assist each other in that. They've had a big role in that over the last several years in trying to be leaders. There's certainly the idea that they're both into golf course design. I don't see Tiger being a TV analyst. That was certainly in line for Phil before all this stuff happened. The TV networks would have loved to have had him. He's very insightful. He has a very, very good golf mind. People would have loved him on TV.
By the way, it's amazing Tom Brady's going to do television when none of us thought like that was a thing. When you say, well, if Tiger might not do it, I don't know. Nobody would be better at it. No one would know more about it than him if he had interest in doing it when he's a little older and his body hurts and he can't do this anymore.
Tiger would be great. I just can't imagine him wanting to devote the time to it. You know,
right.
If you're going to be like Nick Faldo is now on CBS or even Paul Azinger on NBC, you know, it's 10, 12 weeks a year for Azinger. It's probably 20 for Faldo. It's not just showing up on Saturday and Sunday.
It's studying other players, which is something you don't do as a golfer, right? It's not football. You only worry about yourself in golf.
Sure. It's production meetings. It's probably getting out of the range and talking to guys. And imagine Tiger going to do that in his TV role. People are going to be more interested in him than the guys he's talking to. I mean, that will be harder for him. But I do think he can have an elder statesman role. And look, if he's healthy, he could play into his 50s, not regularly. That'll never happen again. But, you know, Jack and Arnold and Ben Hogan, they all had their moments after the age of 50. Obviously, Phil just did a year ago, became the oldest major champion. So I still think
By the way, there was no saying Tiger couldn't have gone on a run on Saturday a couple weeks ago and made that more interesting after having made the cut. He could have made it. And to think that 10 months from now, he might not. I still think the next 5 years, these two guys, I wouldn't bet against either one of them. Wouldn't.
I agree with you. Tiger had a bad weather day on that Saturday. It was really cold. He still has a bad back. Heat is his friend. Having issues with the cold was a big detriment. That won't be an issue here in Tulsa. And this course isn't like Augusta in terms of hills. Things from the physical standpoint should be better for him this week. And it'll be interesting to see how he performs.
Give me a little PGA primer here. Mickelson winning last year. You're writing a book. Him not playing this year. All of that. Where are we for the field this week? Because I got people that gamble on this stuff, Bob.
Yeah, make it good. I mean, I like Jordan Spieth. He just came off a second place finish in Dallas. He would complete the career Grand Slam if he were to win this. He loves the course. Scottie Scheffler, who won the Masters, also loves the course, came here and played a practice round a few weeks ago, shot 64. I don't think you can go wrong with those guys, but I think there's a lot of guys. You know, John Rahm's playing well. He just won. Xander Schauffele just finished a high finish in Dallas, and he won a tournament with Patrick Cantlay. They were partners in New Orleans a few weeks ago. I mean, golf's been a little quiet lately, but we've had some good winners. Spieth, Schauffele, Cantlay, Rahm, Max Homa. Might be more of a long shot pick. The issue in golf right now is probably parity. Despite what Scheffler's done, you know, winning four times this year and the Masters, it's very, very equal. A lot of guys can contend.
Well, we'll be in Tulsa this weekend. Bob Harrig will be following all things. You can follow him out on Twitter, and certainly his book on Tiger and Phil, readily available, golf's most fascinating rivalry. Even Jim Nantz, as every golf enthusiast will want to dive in. It says it right on the cover. We haven't had Jim on in a while, friends, but we'll do that in football season. Bob, always great to visit with you, man. Thanks for coming on, being a great guest, and sharing your knowledge of golf, which is something that everybody knows I need more of.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
I'm the dumb guy that invites the smart guys on to learn more. Bob Harrig from SI, join him out there on Twitter, and make sure you're checking out his book as well. We got golf all week. Our friends at the Baltimore Classic 5 are inviting you to their courses. We'll be talking to Tom about the all things this week in PGA Championship and getting out onto the greens this weekend as the weather has gotten better here. We got the Preakness in town, Adley Rutschman coming up for the Orioles, and the Ravens doing a little mini camp turn as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.